Every day, really, our digital lives depend on finding stuff, right? Not just if something exists in like a huge pile of data, but exactly where it is and what other bits of information are connected to it. Think about looking up a contact. You don't just want to know Steve is there. You need his entry to see his number, maybe his email. Today, we're doing a deep dive into something fundamental that makes this work, the linear search algorithm. Specifically, how it helps us find the position of an item.
Right. That's the mission for this deep dive. We're going to unpack this, well, standard algorithm, why knowing the position is so important, especially when you've got related info, and how programmers actually trace the logic step by step. The goal is really to give you a clear, solid understanding without getting totally lost in the weeds.
That sounds great. You called it a standard algorithm. I hear that term a lot. In tech, things change so fast. So, what makes an algorithm standard? What gives it that staying power?
Yeah, that's a good question. A standard algorithm is essentially a well-tested set of instructions. It's designed for specific, very common problems. They get called standard because, honestly, they're used everywhere, all sorts of software all the time. Think of them like universal blueprints for certain tasks. Sorting data, finding stuff. They're reliable. Developers understand them. They're the basic building blocks.
Okay, so linear search is one of these building blocks. What's its main job at its core?
At its simplest, linear search helps us figure out if a specific item is in a list, or what programmers often call an array. It basically just steps through the array location by location, one after the other. It keeps going until it either finds the thing it's looking for or it reaches the end of the list. Imagine like opening boxes in a row looking for a prize. One box, then the next, then the next. That's the idea.
But there's a key difference in what you find out, isn't there? Sometimes you just need a yes/no, is it here? But lots of times, maybe most times in real applications, you really need to know where it is. How does linear search handle that?
Exactly. That distinction is crucial. Linear search kind of has two main modes, you could say. One mode just checks for existence. It returns a simple true or false, yep, it's here, or nope, not found. The second mode, and this is what we're really digging into today, finds the location, the index. It gives back the actual number representing the position in the array where the item was found. And knowing that position, well, that opens up a lot more possibility. It's often the key to related data.
Right, let's zoom in on finding that position then. You gave us a Python code example before, but let's talk through the logic. Forget the specific code for a second. What's the step-by-step process? What does the algorithm need to keep track of?
Okay, yeah, let's trace the concept. So imagine we're dealing with, say, student names and their test scores. The algorithm needs two main things as it goes. The item we're actually looking for, maybe the name Tony, and a way to remember where it is in the list right now. First, you'd have your data set up. Often, you might use something called parallel arrays. Just picture two lists side by side. One list has names: Steve, Eric, Gemma, Tony. The other has scores: 45, 32, 17, 98. The key thing is they correspond. The name at position zero matches the score at position zero. Position one matches position one, and so on.
Okay, got the parallel lists.
Right. So the search starts at the very beginning of the names list. Position zero, it needs a counter. Let's call it current position. Starts at zero. It looks at the name at current position. Is it Tony? No.
No.
Okay. Increment current position to one. Look at the name there. Is it Tony? No. Increment again. Keep doing that. Compare the name we're looking for with the name at the current position. If it finds a match, let's say at position three, it finds Tony. It does two things. It flags found it, maybe sets a variable like n found to true. And critically, it saves the value of current position, which is three, somewhere else. Let's say in a variable called posfound. Then, even after finding it, or if it didn't find it at that spot, it still increments current position and moves to the next item. It continues this until it's checked every single name in the list.
That makes total sense. Checking, tracking the position, saving it if found. So, okay, the search runs. Maybe it finds Tony at position three. We have that number, three. What's the payoff? How do we actually use that position number in a real program?
This is where the parallel arrays really shine. That position variable, the posfound value of three we just got, that's the link. Because we know Tony is at position three in the names array, we can now look at position three in the scores array, mare. So we'd ask the program for mare three. And because the arrays are parallel,
It gives us Tony's score, which was 98 in your example.
exactly. It lets you connect Tony to 98, even though they're in separate lists, just by using that shared position number. And of course, if the search finished and n found was still false, the program would just say, sorry, couldn't find that name. This cross-referencing using an index is super common, really fundamental stuff.
You keep coming back to parallel arrays. They sound pretty important here. Can you unpack that a bit more? Why are they such a big deal for this kind of task? What makes them parallel?
Yeah, they are important, especially conceptually. They're parallel because you have two or more arrays where the data at the same index, the same position number, is related. So index 0 in the name array corresponds to index 0 in the score array, index 1 to index 1, and so on. They run alongside each other, data-wise. It's a way to group different pieces of information about the same thing, like a person's name and their score, without using more complex structures.
Like an object or something.
Exactly. Before object-oriented programming became dominant, or for simpler tasks, parallel arrays were, and sometimes still are, a straightforward way to manage related data. Remember, an array itself is just a basic ordered list. You access items by their position number, usually starting at 0. Parallel arrays just use that position as a common key across multiple lists. It's elegant in its simplicity, really.
Okay, I get that. But when you're learning this stuff, or even debugging your own code, it can feel a bit abstract trying to picture what the computer is actually doing. How do you keep track of variables like current position and posfound changing inside that loop? How do developers really visualize the flow?
That's a really practical question. It's one thing to understand the idea, another to see it happen or find bugs. Programmers have techniques for this, even manual ones. One classic technique is called a dry run. You literally play computer. You take your code, maybe print it out, and you get a pencil and paper. You step through each line, you write down your variables, current position, posfound, endfound, and you update their values on the paper exactly as the code would.
Ah, so you're manually simulating the execution.
Precisely. It forces you to follow the logic strictly. It's surprisingly good at catching errors in your thinking, especially with loops and conditions. You see exactly when posfound gets updated or why a current position might go one step too far. A slightly more formal version is a trace table. It's basically a structured dry run. You make a table with columns for line numbers or key steps, conditions being checked, and all your important variables. Then, as you step through the code, you fill in the table row by row, showing how the variable values change at each point.
That sounds more systematic. Good for documenting the check, too.
It is. It makes it very clear where things might be going wrong if the final values aren't what you expect. It's great for understanding loops, especially. And then, of course, for bigger programs, you use tools built into development environments. Breakpoints are huge. You tell the editor, stop the program right here on this specific line. When the code runs and hits that line, everything pauses.
And you can see what all the variables are at that exact moment.
Exactly. You can inspect everything, see the value of current position, posfound, everything. It's like freezing time. There are also watch points, which are even more specific. You can say, pause only if this specific variable, like posfound, changes its value.
Mm.
These tools make debugging much, much faster than just printing values everywhere. They let you peer inside the running program.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about making the invisible visible.
Right. Bridging the gap between the code you wrote and what it actually does moment by moment.
So let's tie this together. What's the big picture for you, our listener? We've looked at what seems like a simple idea, finding something in a list, but we've seen how a standard algorithm like linear search, especially when you need the position and use techniques like parallel arrays, becomes a really useful, almost fundamental tool.
Absolutely. Understanding these core algorithms, how they work logically, how to trace them, it's incredibly valuable. It doesn't matter if you're coding actively, analyzing data, or honestly just curious about how your apps work. It demystifies things a bit. You start seeing these elegant, reusable solutions everywhere, finding the position, using it to link data. That's a pattern you'll see over and over again.
Indeed. So maybe the next time you search your contacts or look something up online, just take a second to think about that silent little search, probably a linear one or something similar, stepping through data behind the scenes. It's a good reminder that even really complex software often boils down to these simple, clever sets of instructions working together. Knowing an item's place is often the key to unlocking everything else about it. Something to think about until our next deep dive.